Postcards from Beyond, written and narrated by Paul Harris. Love. The Buddhist path is a training in love. It's designed to teach us what love is, not just intellectually, but really to show us what love is. By following the guidance offered, we cultivate our own capacity to love and be loved. And ultimately, we come to realize the most wonderful, transcendent love. This is the love to which artists, philosophers, and poets allude, and for which all beings secretly long. The problem is, of course, defining exactly what we mean by this word. What is love? Some people, when they think of love, are actually concerned with greed. They love the things they can acquire and consume, and from which they can derive pleasure. This includes that perennial favourite pastime of lovemaking. For many people, gratification of the sexual impulse is what they consider to be love. Actually, any form of attraction whereby we appreciate the beauty or good qualities in something may be considered to be a form of love. With regard to the Buddha's teaching, some people mistake the idea of non-attachment to mean that you cannot love anything anymore. This suggests that they very much regard an emotional dependency upon someone or something as being love. As in, "Oh Stan, promise you'll never leave me." Finding one's soulmate and having an intimate bond with another human being is very much regarded in society as love. For some of us, it may be an experience that is all too fleeting and seems to remain forever unrequited, but nonetheless, it is a form of love most people believe in and aspire towards. There is also love in the sense of having a passion for something, whether it's an interest in pottery, meditation, or trying to save the world. Any form of caring, showing kindness and friendliness, can be regarded as love. People who visit our centre for the first time often comment on the simple, clean, and tidy way it's kept. Impeccability is a form of love. The reason it's kept that way is because it helps to promote positive and tranquil states of mind. The love generated in maintaining a well-kept environment and treating objects with care is definitely communicated to others. Generosity is another form of love. Not just in giving material gifts, but by offering your full and undivided attention, such as perhaps when a friend is not very happy and wants to talk about a problem. Sometimes this can be a real test of one's patience, and it takes a certain amount of restraint and renunciation to listen attentively and to be of service to others. It is, in fact, an act of disinterested love, which is compassion in action. You have, finally, the love that is opening up to the wonder and mystery of reality as it really is. This is the transcendental love that comes with the recognition of the truly infinite and unified nature of all life, and its realization is the culmination of the spiritual search. All these definitions of love fall into three broad categories. Those that consist of entirely selfish behavior, those that include all relatively unselfish behaviour, and those that transcend notions of selfhood altogether. The Buddhist path teaches us how to restrain and let go of selfish preoccupations and behaviours, that love which exploits and hurts both us and others purely for our own gratification. It's training us in developing and making much of relatively unselfish behaviours like generosity and kindness, and all activities of a caring, friendly, and compassionate nature. These bring with them a really positive self-image and a lovable nature. It shows us finally how to realise for ourselves this transcendental love, this love that is absolutely accepting of all life just as it is. Ironically, it is our emotional dependency upon the things of the world that is preventing us from spontaneously being in love with all of life. When we get attached to something, to anything, we immediately create division and fear, the fear of the loss of that thing. Whether we develop attachments to material things or to the things of the mind, they will all inevitably let us down. Ultimately, life is uncontrollable. The fundamental nature of all things is to change and become other. Attachment is not love. Some people get very confused about this. For example, attachment to one's children and love for one's children are two completely different attitudes. To be attached to a child means that there is an emotional dependency on that child for something. For instance, the parent might have expectations about what they want for the child, whereas love for the child would mean teaching him or her right from wrong and trying to provide opportunities and a chance in life, but allowing the child to grow without expectation as to how he or she should turn out. Love does not have the same needy quality that attachment does. Love does not produce fear. The absence of attachment is an entirely positive thing. You cannot know what love is while you have an attachment, not really. The objective in observing the transient, ungraspable, and uncontrollable nature of life is to let go. In letting go, you stop projecting your own wants, fears, worries, and neurosis onto life. Through the absence of the warping such attachments cause, you can finally see what is truly there. Whilst you have attachment to things, you have a divided mind. It is not at peace, not happy. This is because it's always worried. It's always fearful about the loss of the things it depends upon. Whereas when there is no attachment, there is no worry. There is no fear and no longing for life to be one way or another. The truly happy mind, the truly peaceful mind, is an undivided mind. It is not grasping after life, so it just rests and enjoys what is there. Whilst there is a division between me and that at work, whilst there is a sense of duality, then there is a constant partitioning of life and hence conflict. In the absence of that false dichotomy, however, there is just love. For anyone who has concentrated successfully, say giving their full, undivided attention to the rise and fall of the breath, there is just the most blissful peace and contentment. This is because at that time there is no comparing, there is no wishing life to be different, there is no dualistic awareness at all. There is just the sheer experience, and it's blissful. It's peace. Until, that is, a thought arises like, I wish this would last forever. This comparison re-establishes the perceptions of time and space and the idea of a separate self or conscious witness. At this point, the peace instantly vanishes and the mind is once again divided. Rather than seeking a temporary reprieve from that sense of division through concentration, practicing vipassana shows us that the presumed division between me and a separate universe is fundamentally false. It's a complete misperception. Understanding the false as false, you no longer take seriously the appearance of division and separateness. When you finally see through this veil of illusion, then you realize what the mystics have been talking about all this time, and what the poets, artists, and philosophers allude to, but never quite seem to realize themselves. You comprehend that everything has a common, unifying quality, but one that yet defies description. Each time you try to name it, you delineate and separate and create a new sense of division. So you are simply left with this nameless love for all things, knowing that all things are not things. They are all the same thing, yet different at the same time. You realize that love is our natural state, that love is the undivided state and knows no opposite. You can see people with love tattooed on the fingers of one fist and hate on the other, but these are not opposites. The opposite of hate is desire, not love. Enlightenment is very much desireless, but it's not loveless. It's not tangled up with life. It's freedom from forever pulling and pushing, manipulating and controlling. It's neither tolerant nor intolerant. In our natural, non-deluded state, we do not take comparisons between the opposites of good and bad seriously, or right and wrong, or should and should not. You realize that life, as it presents itself, is perfect, just as it is, whatever appears to be there. It is a love not just of particular aspects of life, but of life itself. It's not even acceptance, because acceptance has the connotation of choice and therefore division. And enlightenment, call it what you will, is utterly beyond choice. It is absolute freedom of being. There are no choices to be made. It is all-inclusive, wherein there is neither accepting nor rejecting. You just know that everything is inherently perfect, and there is just this limitless reservoir of indefinable love. It's a cold, late autumn afternoon. The cloudless sky is deep blue, and the sun hangs low over the horizon. As you enter the forest, you notice that there isn't a breath of wind, and the trees are silent and unmoving. A carpet of dry golden leaves greets you, and you choose to walk carefully, not wishing to disturb them. As you walk deeper into the wood, a hush descends, and you feel the exhilaration that comes only when you commune alone with nature. A light mist hangs delicately around the trees, helping to create an aura of light and peace. You stop to take it all in, and notice at once that the only disturbance in the forest had been the crackle of leaves under your feet. As shafts of light arc across your path, you see that dying leaves are noiselessly falling from the trees, each leaf momentarily catching the sunlight as they twirl to the ground. As they come to rest on the forest floor, they make the most delicate sound, tiff, tiff, tiff. All around, the whole 360 degrees, everywhere, the falling leaves create this marvellous, delicate symphony, and you are captivated with delight at the majestic and infinite power of what is all around you. Your heart is filled with silent laughter. Contentment ripples within you like a gently burbling stream, and you simply stand and take in the wonder of it all. Just this is enough. It's free, and it's everything. You have finally woken up, and there is nothing more you need to do.